And we have with us on the line Rabbi Galperin. Rabbi, good morning.
Good morning, Ilan. How are you?
Good, I'm good. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, thank God.
That's good.
Everything is good. No complaints.
That's good. Parashat Lech Lecha.
Yes, it's a very, very interesting parashat. You know, all the Torah portions of, I think I might have said it before, all the Torah portions of Bereshit are extremely interesting. They have a lot of meaning, have a lot of lessons that we could take into our lives, our day-to-day lives. And it's very fascinating too, if, you know, people get a chance to just read through the parashat in English and the commentaries and that. It's very, very interesting. But one of the things that we see in this Torah portion is Abraham is told to leave his land, his birthplace, his home, his where his father's house, and just travel, to go to a place that I will show you. Where it will be, how you're going to get there, he didn't ask. He didn't know. But this is what God told him, this is what he did. And we see that there's a lot of commentaries that explain that a cloud was guiding him and showing him how to go. And when he finally came to the land of Canaan, he was there, and when he was settling down, which the land of Canaan then is referred to what we refer to as Israel today.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, settled down and everything. All of a sudden, there's a famine in the land. There's a famine in that land, so he decides we need to go down to Egypt. What does he tell his wife? He tells his wife, please say, tell the Egyptians that you are my sister, so they will favor me because of you. Because there was a rule in Egypt that if they liked a woman that was there, for example, if they liked Sarah,
bring her to the king.
They'd bring her to the king, and they would, if he wanted her, they would kill the husband, and that was it. So he said to her, he told her, tell them that you are my sister, and then they will save me, they will keep me, they won't do anything to me. Another explanation is that he said, say that you are my sister, because through that they were hoping that they would favor him with gifts. You know, what a nice lady, a beautiful lady, we have to give him gifts. However, if you go and look at that statement of why was Avram so worried about getting gifts, what did he care about getting gifts? It's gifts. If you look at it the first time, it was very bizarre. Because we're reading over again in the portion, there's a lot of tense moments between Abraham and Sarah, that they're forced to postpone their God's request to remain in the land. You know, when they finally get there now, they have to go to a murderous country. They have to go to Egypt now to go and get food. It's so severe is that the situation that Avram deems it appropriate to put his wife at risk and being abducted by claiming that she's his sister, as a lot of the commentaries talk. However, in the midst of this whole life-threatening thing, what do we see? We see that Avram is worried about receiving gifts. How could he be so concerned with such a concept of receiving gifts from the Egyptians when his life was in great danger? Maybe he's got his little facts a little bit messed up a little bit or something.
Yeah.
It's actually interesting to know that if you go and look, Zohar, Kabbalah seems to place a similar stress like the other commentaries on this, and explaining it was that through her merit, through Sarah's merit, that he would accumulate wealth from all the other nations. Why? Because in that period of time, it would be interesting now if that would work also, but in that period of time, a person acquires money in the merit of his wife. However, it's interesting that financial gain was not the main issue of concern over here. The main issue of concern was to make sure that, you know, he gets food, that his wife's safe, and then no one gets hurt and everything. So why is it so deemed necessary to dwell on the fact that, oh, he was worried that he wanted to get gifts, all the commentaries were talking about that. And even more so, why was Avram so worried that he has to get gifts? So it's very interesting, and, you know, based on this answer, it's something that we can really, really take a very big lesson onto our lives. When Abraham left Canaan, God explicitly told him to go. When he left Canaan, where was the place where God told him to go to, due to the famine, a lot of people say he committed a sin. Abraham committed a sin. He should have trusted in God to save him from the hunger. Look, he had faith in God to go from his birthplace, his house, to go to a land that he didn't know where. That he had faith in God. He trusted God wherever he told him to go. Over here, when it comes down to food, he's got to save him from hunger. What happened then? Where did his trust go then? All of a sudden, he needs to go down to Egypt. And Rashi, who is the preeminent commentator on the Torah, makes it clear that Avram's journey to Egypt was really was with divine consent, by God, because Rashi writes that the famine in the land, in which land? It was only in that land. It was only in that land alone where Abraham was, in Canaan, to test him whether he would question the words of God, who commanded him to go to the land of Canaan, or it would be God is really forcing me to leave. So it wasn't that he was leaving by himself. He was leaving with the consent of God. So Avram's trust in God remained perfect. And it would have been incorrect for him, it's interesting, it would have been incorrect for him to remain in Canaan at a time of famine. Why? Simply to rely on God, that God is going to provide everything for him. You know, there's this concept of relying on a miracle. Relying on a miracle is that, okay, let me sit. I'm going to sit at home. And, you know, I'm hoping that I'm going to make a lot of money. So, God, you're going to help me. You're going to provide for me. You're going to do everything that I need. It's not true. God has set up a certain thing of our lives, what we're going to make for the year, how we're going to live, how long we're going to live. But if for us to just sit and do nothing, that's not going to help. That's not questioning God if God's able to do it. God's able to do it, but we have to make a physical channel for God's blessing to be able to come down. And if I can make a physical channel for the blessings to come down, then those blessings are going to come down.
Yeah.
So we see that Avram was correct to leave Canaan and pursue a physical channel by which to obtain food to save his family's life. He wasn't questioning God. He knew God was going to give it to him. Look, he was going to go down Egypt. So the fact that he was going to go down Egypt, there was food there. God was giving him that food. And furthermore, if you're going to look even further at what God was telling, what God promised Abraham, he said, I will bless you. What does that mean? He said, I will bless you with the money. Thus we can presume that Abram was constantly vigilant of a possible physical channel through which God's blessing of wealth would occur. So Abram knew that God was going to give him what he needed, but he had to figure out some channel. In that land, he wasn't going to be able to. In the land of Canaan, he was not going to be able to get his rightful wealth or his food, because there was no channel for him to make it. There was no food. It was a famine. So he had to go to the land of Egypt, which in the land of Egypt was going to then provide him so-called his physical channel in order to be able to get what he needed from God. That's an important lesson in our life. If we want God to help, we have to help ourselves. You know, there's the an example, joke, however you want to call it, of a guy stranded on the island. And when he's on the island, he's the only guy on the island, he cries to God, he says, look, I've been a great Jew, I've done everything you want, you need to save me, help me. So, he sits on the island, 2 days go by, all of a sudden a boat, a big cruise line, a shipping ship comes by, and he says, do you see this guy waving his white flag and he needs help? They scream out to him on the megaphone, do you need help? He says, no, God's going to help me. Okay, so there's a boat leaves, crazy guy sitting on the island. Okay, doesn't want help. A couple of days go by later, helicopter's flying by. He says, do you need help? He says, no, I don't need help. God's going to help me. Okay. After a couple of days, he finally dies. He goes upstairs and he says, God, listen. I was so good to you. I did your Torah. I did your mitzvot. What else did you want from me? Why couldn't you help me? I was trying to tell him, you couldn't do one thing to help me. You're such a powerful man. He says, what does that mean, I didn't help you? I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter. Everything that you needed, you could have been saved. So sometimes if we're not willing to accept those blessings and make a physical channel to have blessings of God come down to us, it's not going to happen. They're there, but it's up to us to be able to make sure that they that they come to fruition and that we're able to get what we need to get.
Open the channels.
Exactly. Having bitachon in God, trust in God is a great thing. We need to have that. But we have to also be able to trust in ourselves, to be able to allow ourselves to, you know, to make that right place for God to be willing to give His blessing. That's what Abraham was doing. Abraham was not questioning God. Abraham was agreeing with God and saying, "I'm going to be there." So that's a small little Torah portion, something that we can learn from the Torah portion that we can really apply in our lives.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah,
I never saw it that way.
You know, it's every time we learn. Me too. We learn, we learn new things every day. If we'd be learning the same thing every day, I wouldn't be learning. It would be quite boring, you know?
Yeah, of course.
So
that's the fun in learning.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Shabbat services.
Shabbat services we're doing this Friday night is at 6:30, a little bit earlier this week.
Yeah.
Because candle lighting time is 6:33. So 6:30 is candle lighting. And, so 6:30 is services, 9 o'clock services, and then we're off to a good start. We're starting very well with the Hanukkah preparations for Hanukkah at the mall. We're doing Yes We Can is a can menorah is the work we're going to be doing, and then with the cans, the food cans that we collect, we're going to then go and donate it to the Windsor food pantries, the unemployment shelters, places where people can use a little bit of help, especially in these economic times.
Yeah. That's a big mitzvah.
Yeah, the Shara Shemaim between 9 and 3, people can drop off over there, their cans at the JCC. They can drop it off between the normal business hours. So we're getting very much involved. Quite a bit of the public schools, even the non-Jewish public schools are getting involved in collecting food cans, and so it's going to be a beautiful event, God willing.
That's great.
So that's that.
Rabbi Galperin, Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you. You can only have a good Shabbat, a healthy one, and it should. You know what? I was looking since you called me. I was, you know, this thing that was happening in Chile. You know, with the Chilean miners.
Yeah, with the 33 miners.
Incredible story. I mean, we're thinking about it like 33 miners, 69 days.
69 days.
What lesson of hope that there can be. And the only way that they can have that hope is through the unity that everyone had. Everyone was working together to be able to make the rescue mission a success.
Yeah,
and if we take that small little lesson, we apply it to our lives, if we can work all together, be unity, what do you think we can accomplish?
You are right. Absolutely right.
So,
thank you, Rabbi.
No problem, we'll be in touch.
We'll talk with you next week on the
God
call.
Willing. Yeah.
Thanks.
God willing. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.